Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 also says that pray without ceasing. That is, let your prayer be uninterrupted. It means it's expected that one of our major vocations upon the earth as believers is that prayer should continually proceed from us and through us in order to effect God's will. Matthew 20, we have been looking at understanding the supernatural. Now, I'm teaching both by precept and by inspiration because I have steps, I have an outline that I'm following, but I've not been able to strictly follow it, as is the case anyway, in most of my teachings. So, but we trust God as He's guiding us and instructing us. So I will try and go over one or two things I've said because we're building a foundation. Remember, this is just week one, and we have how many weeks to go? We have 3 more weeks to go. And we started this series of teaching as seated, which is has something to do with the believer's authority. So we want to expand it a little, and because now we're expanding to looking at the supernatural or understanding the supernatural. So Matthew 28, I'm going to read from verse 16. It says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. In verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, that's the word authority, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That is the Genesis narrative. Heaven and earth, that's the Genesis narrative. So if you're following the series of teachings, we said that the scriptures open up on a supernatural note. At the time the scriptures were written, at the time the events happened, they didn't have knowledge of science the way we do today. And so we understand that Genesis from chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3 has a supernatural background using natural language. If you understand this, to interpret the scriptures should not be so difficult because, again, the Bible was translated to English, but the Bible is not primarily an English book. So, if it's a supernatural context, it means the writers we use, natural environment, natural events, natural occurrences to explain the world of the supernatural to us. That's very important. So when you hear in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth, and you know God is a spirit. So the heaven and earth is talking about also is a description of the supernatural, the world of the seen and the unseen. Now, again, if you follow that series of teaching, we know that Genesis 1:1 is the new creation in prophecy. In prophecy. The new creation in prophecy. Heaven has come to the earth. Heaven has come to the earth. That's a new creation in prophecy. Why was that necessary? The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved over the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was what? Light. So instead of reading that in the sense that there was one being that was hovering here and there, the whole of the four Gospels and the epistles is an explanation of those few statements. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to 4 is an explanation. The earth was without form and void, so we know now that the earth is a reference to the heart of men. Without form and void, there was chaos or disorder, or there was rebellion towards God. And the Spirit of God moved over the face of the waters. That's the English translation. The word used by the Hebrew writers was the word wind. That was the closest word they could use to describe spirit. So they would take water in the natural to explain a spiritual parallel. That's what they did. So when they used waters, they used earth without form, without void. It was a supernatural description of the state of men at that point in time. So if there was darkness upon the face of the deep and they said, let there be light, you shouldn't be looking for electricity. No. The answer to darkness is light. So John will not educate you and let us know that light is a life of men. In other words, without that light, they don't have life. That light is the life of men. And the light shines where? In darkness. And darkness what? Comprehends it not. That's John chapter 1, verse 4. Okay, if I'm going too fast, just do this so I can slow down. Because I need you to get this. It's very important. Because we need to be able to operate fully in the supernatural, exercising the authority that God has given to us. In that same John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 4, verse 9 now says, that was the true light that lights every man that cometh into the world. How do men get lighted? They hear the gospel. When they hear the gospel and they believe, they receive the light of life. Today we'll call it, they become born again. So the Spirit of God moved over the face of the waters, and God said, is the gospel being preached, figuratively speaking? The Spirit of God moved over the face of the waters, and the face of the water is talking about over the nations. And God said, over the nations. So I'm trying to do something as we continue, based on the series we've talked about building up, for you to disabuse your mind from looking at the Bible like it's talking about natural things. It's a book written with a natural language with a supernatural context in mind. That's so important. Now go to Genesis chapter 1. I've been quoting it, but let's look at it now. I want to see something interesting. Again, remember that when you're studying your Bible, read it as a conversation and then read it in context. Ideally, if you read all the way down, let me go to verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven. What is the heaven again? What is the heaven again? So don't think about the sky. Now, why was the sky used and firmament and above? Because it was assumed that the sky has to do with the abode of spiritual beings, that men don't dwell in the sky. So the writer will use that illustration to explain the abode of supernatural beings, the sky, the heaven, was used to portray something above where men live. So look at what it says in verse 14. It says, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was what? So. Let them be so. Again, you are thinking of sun, moon, and stars. Until you look at the way sun, moon, and stars was used in other portions of scripture for you to understand, he's not talking about the physical sun, moon, and stars, but he's using sun, moon, and stars to describe the existence of supernatural beings. Hallelujah. You see, you can't see those beings, so there has to be a way to describe them. Let me say this as we go on. The Hebrew writers did not make a distinction between the natural and the supernatural, or they did not. In the same way, when you're reading the Old Testament, you will notice that many times there was no distinction between the permissive and the causative sense. So, many things that was attributed to God was actually in the permissive tense. In other words, something God saw happen was attributed to him as being the cause of it. That's how the Bible was written, the Old Testament in particular. So, when you hear things like, and God hardened Pharaoh's heart, then you now say, and Pharaoh hardened his heart. There seems to be a contradiction. But there's no contradiction. It's the way the writers of the Old Testament wrote. Why? Because there was no causative sense. There was only a permissive sense. And there was no distinction between the two in the writers. So, a lot of times, what God saw happen as a result of what God said is what God takes responsibility for. When he said God hardened his heart. In what sense did God harden Pharaoh's heart? Well, in the sense that there was a message God sent through Moses to Pharaoh. And it was that message that brought a response from Pharaoh, which is what? Hardness of heart. But who hadn't desired to the message? It was Pharaoh, not God. I hope you understand what I just said. Now, so when you see that also, in the way it was written, because there has to be a way to explain, God is a spirit. The Spirit of God moved over the face of the waters. You can't see spirit, but it's moving over the face of the waters. And God said, so you can hear what he said. And that is the gospel being preached by Moses at the beginning. Because that's the story of the new creation. Let there be, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from what? The darkness. Hallelujah. So he will tell you there will be two nations, the world and the church. He already told you that's from Genesis. So when we are reading the epistles, for instance, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look at Paul's narrative. Paul's narrative will now tell us, if our gospel be hid, it is he to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world has what? Blinded the minds of them which believe not. Now, if you didn't have that scripture, which is the explanation for the tohu bohu in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, there was darkness upon the face of the deep. If you didn't have that scripture that says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded, you won't see the God of this world. You won't know his activity is going on. You'll just think men are rebelling against God by themselves. No. The God of this world has blinded minds for those who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ should shine unto them. Then verse 6 now says, the God that commanded light to shine out of what? Darkness has shined where? In our hearts. That's Genesis chapter 1. So he's telling you, when you hear The Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. Don't think about waters, mountains, and rocks and rivers. Think about the heart of men. So, in that Genesis 1 again, when he says in verse 14, and God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was what? So. Now, jump with me to Genesis chapter 2. See what it says. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. All the host of them. Again, you'll be tempted to think the host of them will be sun, moon, and stars. No, sun, moon, and stars is a description of supernatural beings. Now, put your hand and go to Luke chapter 2. Let's follow. Luke chapter 2, I read from verse 13. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, what they say, glory to God where? In the highest, and on earth what? Goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them to heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. But notice that verse 13 again. Look at verse 13 again. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of what? The heavenly host. So the heavenly host is a reference to angelic beings. Angelic beings. That's so important. Angelic what? Beings. That's what it means. So when you're reading Genesis 2, thus was the earth finished and heaven finished. And all the host of them is telling you the story of the creation of the heavenly beings. That's what it's talking about. Glory to God. That's what it's talking about. So yesterday we saw some interesting things. And I said to us, the counterpart in the Old Testament or the prayer of Paul, where Paul says that, for this cause, no, not for this cause. Ephesians 1 and verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and word revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That's what Paul prayed. So I asked us yesterday, which parallel do we have in the Holy Scriptures, Old Testament? We found also Elisha praying that same prayer for the servant. And that incident was recorded for the purpose of us recognizing that behind natural activities, there are spiritual entities. So remember the story very good, because that story is very important for you to understand certain things. We saw that the king of Syria was bothered about the fact that his secrets were always revealed to the king of Israel. Whenever they planned to attack them, Elijah by revelation would tell the king. So he was perplexed. He began to make inquiry among his staff. Won't you tell me who among us is a traitor? Who is revealing secrets to the king of Israel? And then one of them told him, none of us is revealing secrets. There's a prophet in Israel. He tells the king of Israel the things you discuss in your bedchamber. And the minute the king of Syria heard it, he sent a battalion of soldiers to go and arrest. That's the kind of respect he had for Elisha. He sent a group of soldiers. Not four people, not six. The whole army. This is a dangerous man. Now, the one who is telling the king what you discuss in your bedchamber obviously knows you are coming. Because it has been revealed to him also. So he stayed in one place. So the very next morning, no, that's the implication. He knows you are coming. He stayed in one place. Then we have that discussion that occurred between them, which you may easily overlook if you don't pay attention to details. Now, it says that in the early morning hours, the servant woke up, probably went out to fetch water, and he saw the army surrounding them. By the time he came to tell Elisha, Allah's master, today's English day, we are done for. It's over. We are surrounded. And then Elisha answered, fear not, for they are more with us than they are with them. So those people also came with a host. Amen. They came with a host. But they are more with us. But the servant didn't know. So he prayed the prayer, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And open his eyes. And round about Elijah were horses and chariots of fire. The heavenly host was already what? Present. Was present. So the confrontation was not a natural one, even though you say weapons of war. The confrontation was a spiritual one. Listen, the same incident took place when it comes to the story of David and Goliath. Some of us may not understand that was a spiritual confrontation, not natural. The reason why Goliath was speaking for 40 days, I tried to use that illustration when it comes to our teaching on what the Redeemer says, and while we get to look at it on Sunday. But I want you to see something. It was a spiritual confrontation. Why? Goliath was not a natural being. Goliath was of the seed of the giants. The way God ordained things that everything should reproduce after what? His kind. So giants now, Goliath was at least 9 feet 9. Go and check Guinness Book of World Records. Nobody has ever been that tall. He was 9 feet 9. His shield was about 75 kg. What do you weigh? I just want to find out. The shield. That's unnatural. Then notice the army he came with kept quiet. And the Philistines are known as idol worshippers. They are gods. In 1 Samuel, they used to worship a god called Dagon. If you look at the description of that particular deity, he had a fish tail. If you check the description, that was the deity that they were worshipping where they captured the ark of God. And when they came the next day, the idol had fallen face down before the ark. Then they put it up again. The next day they came, the arm was broken, the leg was broken, the neck was broken to signify judgment. So they were worshipping ark. Now you think they are just worshipping a wooden effigy. No, they are worshipping a spiritual being represented by that wooden effigy. You think God is concerned about wooden effigy? What's the wooden effigy? No, he represents a being. And that effigy, so to speak, comes alive when men offer worship. That's what it means. Where did he get the image from? A being that looks like that. He got it from the remote supernatural. And so God warned Israel several times. So when David came on the scene, it was, you come against me with sword and spear, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts, whose armies you have defied. This day will the Lord give you into our hand. The first thing was, reminded the nation of Israel, you are armies of the living God. Angelic forces are backing you up. None of them remember they were too afraid. That's why, you know, God does not kill. No, in this instance, Goliath represented demonic forces. God has never killed any man. But Goliath is not a man. And he had 4 other brothers. And they were giants. I don't have time today, but I will take us through Joshua, book of Joshua. You will see how the mountain Caleb asked God to give him. Giants were there. Sons of Anakim. They were not natural beings. They were the product of what happened in Genesis chapter 6 when the sons of God came in and saw the daughters of men that were beautiful and came in unto them and they produced strange men upon the earth or strange beings. So they were spiritual beings. Hallelujah. So God passed judgment upon them. How? Through his people upon them. Salvation was never offered to beings like that because they will never rise again. Sons of Anakim, giants in those days. Goliath's bed, I think one of the guys they killed in the days of Deuteronomy, they said his bed was 18 feet. Bed. I think the best you have now is 6x6. Maybe I'm not current, but I read it more than once. Check again. 18 feet. So Goliath is even playing. Besides people like that. That's the ones that they conquered the date of Joshua. 18 feet. No one should call that one a giant or a troll. One of the two. No, so those are the kind of beings that were ruling in that land that God was saying, exterminate all of them. Why? I hope you understand now. God wasn't after humans. It was about those beings. And they kept corrupting humanity. That was Satan's plan, to corrupt until there's no virgin that the Son of God will come to. That was actually the plan. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. Do you understand? A virgin shall give birth. Okay? So until there's no virgin, nobody's a virgin again. That was the plan. Satan's very myopic, but that was the plan. That was the plan. Hallelujah. So now, go with me to Genesis again. Look at Genesis, verse 26. Let me show you something. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion. So in the new birth, and we'll make man in our image after our likeness, which is a repetition of Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 4. Shall I say that again? Look at Genesis 1:26 again. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have what? Dominion over what swims in the sea, over what flies in the air, over all the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. He is not talking about cattle, fish, and goats. He's not talking about birds. You don't need dominion over those. Amen. Amen. What was the state of man in Genesis 1 and 2? The earth was without form and void, and what? Darkness upon the face of the deep. What is that darkness also called? The God of this world has what? Blinded the minds of those that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel. So one of the things the gospel does is that it puts things in perspective for man to understand. So when there's tohu-bohu, darkness or chaos, there's disorder even in the heart of man, so that he does not recognize the difference between the God of heaven and those spiritual beings. If you understand, let me say that. Good. So darkness upon the face of the deep also implies that there was a perception in man which was the fruit of deception. So he is worshipping what is meant to serve him. That's what he's doing. So when you hear, and God said, let us make man in our image after what? Our likeness. Let me ask you a question. Who is the image of God? Who is the image of God? So can we say, let us make man like Christ? Can we say that? Is Christ the image of God? Let us make man like Christ. And when they are in Christ, let them have what? Dominion. Can you see that now? So he's not talking about that first Adam. He's talking about men becoming recreated in the second Adam. He's simply reiterating and repeating, using a different narrative, what he said in the first three verses of Genesis. In the beginning, God created what? The heaven and the earth. That was the plan. Why did God need to do that? Because the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the world, deep. So what will chase the darkness away and give form and order to the hearts of men? It will be, let there be light. And there was what? Light. So there was light will be the effect of salvation. Okay. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you understand, Michelle. So let there be light, and there was light. There was light is, that is the effect of what? Salvation. That's a new creation. And God saw the light that was good. So who is the light that was good? Who is the light that was good? It's you and I. It's a new creation. That's what God says is good. Then Moses, after telling you that God set light in the firmaments, let them be for seasons, let us be for times. In verse 13 now says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have what? Dominion. He's repeating the first three verses. They're using a different narrative. So in case you were thinking I'm talking about darkness, water, deep, I'm talking about man. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. What does it mean to make man in our image after our likeness? Let the light of God enter their hearts. And when it does, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the cattle, over the fowls of the air. Oh, so he's talking about three different realms. The air, the land, and the sea. And those are the three realms. Philippians 2, verse 9. Let me show you. Are you with me tonight? So, Philippians chapter 2. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things where? Under the earth. Can you see three realms now? Can you see three realms? So the authority of Jesus traverses those three realms. He's not talking about human beings. He's talking about spiritual beings in three realms. So when he died, here's what the gospel teaches. In the four gospels, we have a narrative of what men could see that happened to Jesus. In the book of the prophets, we have a narrative of what the Spirit of God testified that Jesus will accomplish. In the epistles, we have an x-ray of what happened behind the scenes when we could no longer see him on the cross. Let me say that again. In the four gospels, we have a testimony of what men saw. God's son, flogged, beaten, crucified. That's all we could see. But the point came when he said, Father, unto you I commit my spirit. In the book of the prophets, we have the narrative of what they said they will accomplish. For instance, in Isaiah 53, he made his grave with the wicked in his death. In the epistles, we have an x-ray of what happened in the unseen realm. That is, in that realm where you and I cannot physically see, in hell. The domain of the enemy. We have an x-ray, a revelation of what took place there. So there's what men saw. There's what God saw. There's also what the devil saw. Three things. There's what God saw, what men saw, and what the enemy saw. And they're not the same. So eyewitness testimony, the four gospels, with a little bit of revelation. The epistles, the spirit's witness of what took place behind the scenes. That can only be understood by revelation. Glory to God. So in the four gospels, all disciples know that he was gone for 3 days, he came back. What did he accomplish in 3 days? The Spirit will guide them into all truth. The Spirit will guide them into all truth, all that reality. The Spirit. How will the Spirit do so? That's what we have in the epistles. So Colossians 2 and verse 13. Just follow me. And you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, as he quickened together with him, having forgiven you what? All trespasses. Now, again, these scriptures emphasize the reality of the supernatural nature of the victory that Jesus accomplished. Let me say it again. Have you seen people acting drama before and they were trying to enact what happened in hell, how Jesus saw Satan and gave him uppercut and gave him a blow? Have you seen that before? Nothing but sense knowledge. Nothing but sense knowledge. They actually believed that Jesus was in physical combat. Satan's dominion over man is not physical. He's spiritual. So the words that Paul uses are very important because it is a complete departure from natural thinking. Complete departure. Notice, look at what it says. And you, being dead. Now, look at verse 9, first of all. Look at verse 9. We'll come back to verse 13. Or let's read from verse 8, please. Thank you. Verse 8. Colossians 2, verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through what? Philosophy and fruitless deception. After the tradition of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after what? Christ. Look at the next verse. For in him, glory to God, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead, what? Bodily. And you, say me, say I, say I'm complete in him, which is the end of all principality and power. Actually, that statement also means we're seated together with him. We're complete in him. So I said something yesterday very important. I said the authority of the believer is not only what? Available, but it's also what? Necessary. It's necessary. That is, you need it. We need it. We need it. So verse 12 again. See what it says. Buried him in baptism, when also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has risen from the dead. Look at verse 13 now. It says, and you, being dead in your sins. That phrase means you being under the dominion of the devil. So it was the fact that you were dead in your sins that placed you under Satan's dominion. So Satan's hold over you was spiritual. Satan's power over man was the dominion of sin. Hallelujah. So see what it says again. You've been dead in your sins and circumcision of the flesh, as he quickened, that's what made alive, having forgiven you what? All trespasses. That phrase, in forgiving you all trespasses. Now, I'm going to reconstruct that. Look at the last two phrases. As he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, or you were quickened together because you were forgiven what? All trespasses. This is the language of Paul in a letter to Colossae. The same thing is what he tried to tell them. Well, and that same Colossae in verse 13, it says, who has delivered us from the authority of darkness and has translated us where? The kingdom of his dear son. And yet, those who have been delivered and translated, they are physically upon the earth. And it says they are switched kingdoms. So people are in kingdoms and they are not aware they are in kingdoms. And there's no in-between kingdom. You're either in the kingdom of light or in the kingdom of what? Darkness. And so the greatest deception is that you are not even aware you are under a kingdom or you are under a rule. That's the greatest. How was that rule coordinated? Okay, now. So let's start now. I said all that for background. So we can now begin to remember what I said before. Luke 2:13. And with the angel appeared an array of the heavenly hosts. So we know the heavenly hosts versus what? Angelic beings. Good. Look at 2 Kings chapter 17. And I'm going to read from verse 16. And they left all the commandments of the Lord their God and made them molten images, even two calves, and made a groove, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served what? Baal. So, when you hear they were serving Baal, is Baal a spiritual being? Yes. And the calf that they made is a representation of that being. 2 Kings 21, verse 3. 2 Kings 21. For he built up again the high places which Hezekiah's father has destroyed, and he raised up altars for Baal, and made a groove, as did Ahab, king of Israel, and worshipped what? All the host of heaven, and did what? And served them. So be writing the scriptures down. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 4. Exodus chapter 20, verse 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, notice, or any likeness of anything that is where? In heaven above. So where is heaven again? Stop. So if you're reading this in the natural, you are still thinking, when you look up at the sky, what do you see in heaven? If you go outside, what do you see? You see star, you see moon. Have you seen anybody make image of star before? Where would they hang it on? Is anybody make image of moon or the sun? Can you even look at the sun? You can't. Okay, so how many of you have made image of bed? So winged creature in the heavens is a description of spiritual beings. Which means those beings appear to men and men will not make images out of, I hope you understand. So, look at what they were forbidden. It says, you will not make unto thee any graven image in the likeness of anything that is heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is where? In the water where? Under the earth. Now, let me stop. If what God is saying to them is about natural things, Before you can make the image of any fish, you have to see the fish, isn't it? So you have to go to the deep, isn't it? And go and capture the fish. You now make it in an image. But this particular being in the water, under the earth, for them to be worshipping and serving that being must have appeared to them. That's where those mammy water things come from. I hope you understand. So the one in heaven appeared. The one on the earth also appeared. And men made images out of them. I've used certain illustrations that will quickly ring a bell to us. How many of you have seen the image of Hare Krishna before? Okay. So you've seen that particular being that has how many hands? Six. 3 here and 3 here. Is that a man? Is that a human being? Okay. So where did they get it from? And the color of the image is always blue. Have you noticed this? It is blue. Okay. So I noticed that if it looks like beings from the East, Asian countries, that's what it looks like. But now, why does it seem as though the beings they serve over there and over here? Now, for instance, now, it's been discovered over the years now that, you know, they serve Yemoja in Brazil. You don't know. They do. They call it Yemoja. We give them the name. A being will introduce himself. That's what happens. And God said, don't worship them. And so those who are worshiping, what's the problem? And darkness was upon the face of the deep. What's the answer to darkness? God said, let us make man in our image after what? Our likeness. What's another word for that? Let there be light, and there was light. And then when there's light, what will happen? Let them have dominion. So instead of bowing down to serve, they will exercise dominion over the fish of the sea. So you know he's not talking about fish now, isn't it? Isn't it? What is he talking about now? Beings under the earth, everything that flyeth in the sky. So there are beings who fly in the sky. And there are those who creep upon the face of the earth. The three different realms that Jesus has authority over. That the name of Jesus walks over. Now, what's another name for the name of Jesus? The new creation. It means you have authority over all realms. But you have to know. Deliverance can be beside you and you can't walk in it. I imagine in my mind now, in my meditation, the servant of Elisha. The minute he saw the chariots of fire and noise of fire from where done for, it will be, bring it on. Eureka. My master, shall we slay them? How far? Let's slay them. Now, the hosts that surrounded them were surrounded. Here's what I need you to see very importantly. Nothing happened until Elisha stepped forward. Nothing happened. The Syrian army did not attack, but an host came with the Syrian army, demonic beings. Elisha and his servant were there, and host was with them. The host also did nothing, angelic beings. But Elisha stepped forward and spoke to the captain of the army. Who do you seek? We seek Elijah. Oh, he's not here. Let me take you. Now, before I say that, I said, my God, smite them with blindness. Now, one of the interesting things about that statement is this. If you were reading Genesis and chapter 18, chapter 19, where Lot was rescued by angels. You remember that story? Do you notice that when the angels were sent to rescue Lot and the men of that city were trying to force their way into the house, the angels smote them with what? Temporal blindness. And they couldn't find the door. So do you think it's a coincidence that now Elisha is also with angels and he says, smite them with what? Blindness. Not a disease, just blindness. Come, let me show you where he is. And he took them into the camp of the Israelites, the midst of their enemies. And then their eyes were now open. Even the king was excited. My father, shall we kill them? Said, you are free to kill those you captured by your sword and spear. No, these were arrested by the power of God. He said, give them food, send them back to their master. The Bible says that the host of Syria never came again. You know what it means for the army to go back to their king. What happened? Where is the man? We didn't carry him. What happened? He arrested us. One man. Yes. Where is he? He's there. What happened to you? They took us to the king. How did you escape? They even gave us food. So what happened? They said we should be greeting you. If you're saying, go to your house, just go to your houses. Just go. All of you just go. God, the shame is like, just go home. So it wasn't about sword and spear. Hallelujah. Some trust in chariots and horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. They stumble and they are falling, but we rise and we stand firm. Hallelujah. It's so important. So nothing happened until Elisha engaged spiritual forces. He spoke, then the angels acted. That's very important. But he was aware that the angels were there. He was aware. So notice, you will not make any great meaning as heaven above. So three tiers. Now go me to Deuteronomy chapter 4. I'm going to read from verse 15. Deuteronomy chapter 4 from verse 15. It says, take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for you saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire. You didn't see any image. You didn't see any form. You only heard a voice. Now look at the next verse. It says, lest you corrupt yourselves. Now, that word again, we can borrow that word, or we can trace that word again to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 3. For I fear, let as Satan beguile Eve, your mind should be corrupted from the word simplicity that is where? In Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you connecting the dots now? I fear, let as the serpent beguile Eve, your mind should be corrupted from the singularity. Single-mindedness of God. You should be corrupted. So look at this. Lest you corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, likeness of any winged fowl that flight where? In the air. Can you see that now? So all the images that men were making, they saw those beings. The likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, likeness of any fish that is where? In the waters where? Beneath the earth. Moses was warning them. And Moses spoke about three realms of existence. Land, sea, air. And he was speaking about spiritual beings. So when you see, looking carefully, fishes in the water, a representation of unseen beings. Animals on land, a representation of other unseen beings. Birds in the air, another representation of what? Unseen beings. So notice what it says now. Look at verse 19. This is where we're going now. Lest you lift up your eyes unto heaven, and when you see the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven. What does it call sun, moon, and stars? What does it call sun, moon, and stars? Host of heaven. So he doesn't expect you to think of physical sun, moon, and stars. He's telling you, I'm borrowing the term sun, moon, and stars to let you understand. I'm speaking about what? Spiritual beings. Again, this is what host of heaven. Should us be driven to worship them and serve them, which Lord thy God are divided unto all nations under where? The whole heaven. So they are supernatural beings that God has divided or put in charge of different nations under heaven. And those who became corrupt among them became what you call demonic forces ruling in those nations. Remember, in Daniel chapter 10, Daniel had an encounter with the angel Gabriel. Daniel had been praying, and the angel spoke, oh, Daniel, beloved of God, from the first day you began to pray, God answered your prayer, and I was sent. But the prince of Persia withstood me 21 days. But the archangel Michael came to my head. So in the 3rd year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. So in Daniel chapter 10, what we have is a story. The angel came to tell him, from the day you started praying, God answered, I was sent, but there was a prince of Persia. And he withstood me how many days? 21 days. Until Gabriel came. So while you were praying upon the earth, in the unseen realm, a battle was raging. And the angel told him that Michael came to assist me so I could get through, and I returned to go and stay with the kings of Persia. So there were kings of Persia, but there was a prince of Persia. So the prince is the being in the unseen realm, and there were kings in Persia, but there was a prince ruling over that particular region who will not allow angelic interference. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Good. So because the more we understand, the more we realize that when Paul says that, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, he's saying we are in contact with men every day, but behind the men you are in contact with, you are in contact with demonic entities. You are in contact with demonic entities. So he says now that you are in the spirit, you are born of the spirit, and Genesis 1:26 has been realized in salvation. Let us make one in our image after like it. Let them have what? Dominion. So now that you are in Christ Jesus, you have what? Dominion. You have dominion over those three realms, over those beings. But you must recognize there is those beings, because immediately you don't recognize, you're already falling for the deception of the enemy. That's why the message of the gospel is a message of warfare. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Who is it that believeth? The one you just rescued from the God of this world that blinded his mind. So you are in direct conflict with the God of this world. Who blinded that man's mind until you came and preached the gospel? So the message you brought is a message of warfare. If you understand, let me say that again. Let me say it again. You see, when we go and preach the gospel, we just go and for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. So I believe it. Do you believe? God loves you. I just want you to just accept. You didn't pray. You don't know when he's resisting under your breath, you should bind and cast down. You don't know that the message you are bringing is an invasive message. That is kingdom against kingdom. You don't know. That you're looking at the physical man, but behind the scene, there are entities that you cannot see, that you're meant to confront. And God is counting on you. And God says you have dominion. And then some of you just get discouraged. I preached. I spoke for 30 minutes. He did not give his life. He doesn't have life to give. He did not receive Christ. You know, you are dealing with spiritual forces. Some of those people even insult you, you get angry. No, we rest not against flesh and blood. It is warfare. It is the message of the king and his kingdom. That's what the gospel represents. There's a king, a new king in town. His name is Jesus. And you are capturing men from the other kingdom for him. We're an occupying army, an occupying force. I like what Kenny said. Is there no man in his natural mind? We hear the gospel and not jump at it naturally. The reason why they're not jumping is because it's not natural. How can you know that you're on the expressway going very fast to hell and you keep going? You know, something has to deceive you and let you know that you don't know. And that's one of the reasons why a lot of those very knowledgeable people, professors, they are so intellectually full of themselves that they are confused. They are so much after knowledge that the simplicity of the gospel bores them. It bores them. They don't know they are not the first people to pursue knowledge. And that's why they join Rosicrucian. Grail message. You know what they're looking for? Knowledge. Something that is, you know, puffed up. Something that sounds intellectually very high sounding. And then the fisherman comes to preach the gospel to you. You don't need a supernatural message. Hallelujah. So when we go out to preach, we need to understand we're dealing with spiritual entities so that we can be fully armed. Or I'd say put on the whole armor of God that I'm able to stand. E.W. Kenyo said, he was a great evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Combine those three offices effectively as an apostle. He said he will preach the gospel to some men. And he has had cases where he saw the person he was preaching to sweating, seemingly struggling. He said many times he had heard them say that, I want to, but I don't know, something stopping me. Say, yes, I understand. Said, I whisper down my bed, you foul spirit, let him go. Just under his bed, let him go. Say, I'm ready now. Why? It's warfare. It's warfare. Something was binding the man's mind. He wants to receive Christ. Something's holding him back. Something's holding him back. And you have to understand that you are in the spirit. Say, I'm in the spirit. Say, I'm in the spirit. And I must stay in the spirit. I must stay conscious of the spirit. So we are looking at understanding the supernatural. So this is kingdom against kingdom. So let me read this before I leave so that it will make sense. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia will still be 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, notice chief princes, someone who has control of other angels, he came to help me and I remained there with what? The kings of Persia. So the reason why the prince of Persia withstood was he didn't want him to influence any of the kings of what? Persia. And if you know the story of Babylon, you know the story of Nehemiah, the story of Ezra, you realize that it was those kings that God influenced that released Nehemiah and Ezra. One to build the temple, and then I want to build the word of Jerusalem. How many of you have read those books before? I hope you have read them. They wait for you at the gate of heaven. They will wait for you. Did you read my book? What's my name? What happened in chapter 4? That's how you'll be looking. You have failed the interview. Nehemiah will just confront you. After all, myself, he didn't read my book. Okay. Now, because if you read the scriptures very well, there was a parallel between when that was happening, when Daniel was praying, there's a parallel. Don't read the Bible like, you know, Job, Israel, Nehemiah, that's how it happened. No. Zechariah, when you're reading his book, he was alive in the days of Nehemiah, Ezra. There was a prayer they were praying. That prayer was one of the reasons that released Nehemiah to go and build. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. The Daniel 2 was praying. So they are all connected. If you read the story back to back. So the kings of Persia were influenced. Gabriel said, I returned, came, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. What's he doing with kings of Persia? To influence, according to God's will. But it was the prince of Persia that was trying to what? Withstand. I hope you understand now. But the prayer of a man. So what is Daniel doing according to scriptures? What's an illustration that we can find in the four gospels of what Daniel just did in place of prayer? I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind where? On earth, shall bind where? In heaven. Whatever you lose on earth shall be loosed where? In heaven. So Daniel was praying on the earth, and his prayer was landing on effect where? In heaven. Where is heaven again? The unseen realm. Praise God. The unseen realm. Very important. The unseen realm. The unseen realm. All right. So look at Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 7. Deuteronomy 32, verse 7. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. Thy elders, they will tell thee. So he's saying, this has been going on from old. This is a testimony that we're repeating that has occurred from the days of old. This is how things were ordered. Look at the next verse. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of children of Israel. I explained to us that phrase, the number of children of Israel, is a wrong rendering. First of all, go back to that verse 8 again. When God divided the people with their inheritance, Israel was not in existence. He's describing Genesis chapter 11. Israel was not in existence at that time. Israel did not come into existence until from Genesis chapter 32 upwards. So what really says there in the original Septuagint is the sons of God or the angels of God. Pastor, do you have the BBE? Bible in Basic English? Do we have it? Let's check the translation one by one. When the Most High gave the nations their inheritance, when he divided mankind, notice mankind, he fixed the borders of the people according to the number of what? The sons of God. Who are the sons of God? Angels. Do we have any other translation, please? Okay, so notice this message. When the Most High, when the High God gave nations their state, he gave them their place on earth. He put each of the peoples within the boundaries under the care of divine guardians. Hallelujah. So can you see that those beings are allotted certain specific locations? Can you see that? This is important. So some of those beings appointed that location according to God's plan. See, he assigned to each nation a heavenly being. Good news translation. A heavenly being. In rebellion, some of those creatures will now appear to man. And man in his fallen state, so to speak, will now begin to worship. So God told them, don't make images, don't serve them, don't worship the host of heaven. Somebody says, why are men drawn to worship them? Psalm 8. Psalm 8. We should soon start praying. Amen. O Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the heart. Who has set what? Thy glory above the heavens. Look at the next verse. It said, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings are thou ordained strength because of thy enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast what? Ordained. That's the word, you set them in place as guardians. You ordained. You gave them allocations, boundaries, you appointed them. He's not talking about sun, moon, and stars. He didn't ordain any sun, moon, and star. The sun you are seeing is what I'm seeing. The moon you are seeing is the moon I'm seeing, isn't it? The same star. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. How I wonder what you are. Until we discover that stars don't twinkle. That's how they spoil the sun for us. That stars are not twinkling. There is a cloud that pass back and forth that causes it to appear as twinkling. So the star remains the same. It doesn't twinkle. Let me spoil your primary school song. So. So the same sun you see here, the same sun I've seen all over the world, one sun. But it's not talking about, so I consider your heavens, that is the work of your fingers, the moon and sun, which you have what? Ordained. Look at next verse. What is man? So the beings that are unseen, the way they are created, they are luminous beings. Luminous means they radiate light and level of glory. And compared to them, what is this one that is here? This frail being. That you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you what? So even Jesus, when God became a man, as he's called son of man, even when he entered up here, there was nothing special about him. He has no form, no comeliness, and when we shall see, there's no beauty that we should desire him. But when you see some of these beings, oh my goodness, if some of you think that Satan is one being with two big arms, with three eyes, with a very long tail, with crooked teeth, No. If that one appears to you, sir, you will know it. They look majestic. They look glorious. That's where they are created. Hebrews 1:7 says that who make it his angel spirits and ministered what? Flames of fire. So they glow, literally glow. They glow. So what is man compared to that kind of creation? That's what he's saying. What's man compared to? So man in his fallen state, we look at those creatures, the way they appear, and say this is an Elohim or a supernatural being or a God. You made him a little lower than the angels or Elohim, which is plural for gods. And you crown him with glory and honor. So instead of giving those beings glory and honor, you give glory and honor to this being who doesn't look like it. Hallelujah. So you made him to have dominion over the work of your hands. What is the work of his fingers in verse 3 again? Verse 2, what work of God's fingers again? Sun, moon, and stars. Yes or no? Yes or no? Mami water? It's the work of God's hands. You have dominion. Somebody say, hey, no, I don't want to have dominion. Dragon. His children have asked that question. Daddy, does the dragon exist? You think man just created that thing? And then you now notice that the writer of Revelation, that great dragon, something that breathes fire. You need to understand these beings exist. Man is not intelligent enough to just cook up an image in his mind. Man is not a creator in that sense. He has to have seen some of those beings before. Glory to God. Are we together tonight? I'm trying to expand your mind so that you understand that we're surrounded by supernatural beings. But guess what? You're also supernatural. And you're the only being. And you see, the wisdom of God is just mighty. The wisdom of God is just astonishing. The one that doesn't look like it is it. He's saying that you don't need might, physically speaking. You don't need size. All you need is to be in the image of God. And God saw the light that it was good and divided light from the darkness. There's a division already. Have authority over serpents and scorpions and above all power of the enemy, and not shall by any means hurt me. So serpents and scorpions are figurative of demonic forces. It's not saying go to where there are snakes in the zoo. Go and touch scorpion. It will sting you. Serpents and scorpions is a reference to what demonic works. Amen. So when I consider the heaven's work of your hand, someone has asked which you have what ordained or set in position. God ordained them. He's one that ordained them that way. You set them in position. That's what he did. So, but you made him to have dominion over the work of man. You put what? All things under his feet. That's Genesis 1:26. Let them have dominion. And that is a new creation in Christ Jesus. So, I believe that one of the reasons why we don't see some of these means is because some of us are not even ready. And of course, there's a gift of spirit called design of spirits. That some things will be revealed to you only as the spirit permits in that sense. Because if you are not ready, you will run from what you have control over. Yeah. What you have authority over. Someone says by appearance. Why? Because there's a training, spiritual training, that makes you value revelation above the order of the senses. It's a training. It takes time for you to value revelation above the order of the senses. Listen, when an angel appeared to Daniel in that state, there was no strength left in Daniel. He said there was no strength left in him. And Gabriel had to strengthen him. That's the weakness of the human body. Gabriel had to strengthen Daniel for Daniel to hear what Gabriel had to say, because there's a level of glory those beings come through. So man is tempted to worship them, and yet God says, what is man compared to these beings? Yet that man that you're saying what is man is one God gave dominion and authority over what? All those beings. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 32 again. Jump to verse 16. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to what? Anger. Verse 17. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God. To gods whom they knew not. To new gods that came up newly. Whom your fathers what? Feared not. So those gods, Elohims, or those beings. That is what he's talking about. Praise God forevermore. So Paul says, finally, my brethren, be strong where? In the Lord and in the power of his might. Take unto you the what? Whole armor of God. Where do you wear the armor? Physically or in your mind? Physically or in your mind? Where do the wiles of the enemy come? To your mind. So where do you need the armor? in your mind. So if something appears to you in a dream, somebody asked me a question, I said, so Pastor, so we should be ready now for fight, for things that will happen. I said, no, I didn't say that. I said, when you're going to preach the gospel, the prophecy that came out yesterday, I mean, the remember that prophecy. When you're going to preach the gospel, God says, be ready. That, see, let me give you an illustration. We're going to pray the word. Because the message, if you hear it for Bali, it should produce faith, not fear. Now, you received an impartation from Smigul Short. Thank you. Let's assume out. So, in one of these South American countries, where it went to me, and South American countries have a lot of demonic activity, intense demonic activity. Okay? A disciple in Australia who has a church in Canada and is an apostle to those American countries. In fact, when I was teaching him some things, I'm a negotiation and everything, he wanted to leave his calling of delivering people to just focus on teaching. I said, no. I'm teaching how to balance the truth. I'm a local assembly. Teaching is my focus now. When I go outside of church to certain meetings, depending on the nature of the meeting, I don't have the time to teach as long. I have the time to demonstrate the power because that's what they need. Now, I hope you understand. So there's a balance. If I'm there for 3 days, I'll spend time too. I'm here for only one meeting, so you have only 2 hours. So I can't teach for long, but I can demonstrate power. I can get people healed right now. I hope you understand the difference. So it's an apostle to do something like that. It's the kind of manifestations they see over there. Demons. You don't even see them here. You feel like that's where they pack all of them. A lot of demonic cases as in plenty. Now, so, one of those South American countries, that's where Lester Smart came to minister. And when he finished ministry, of course, demons fear him. Cast out demons, heal, cigarette every time. He now went back to his room. In the middle of the night, they came. As I'm moving the bed, if it's you, you run out of the room. I want another room. I'm not sleeping. I want another room. They were moving the bed. He got up and said, what's the meaning of this? What are you doing here? They came from the crusade ground. Because of the damage that he did in the crusade ground, they came after him. He said, in the name of Jesus, I command you, get out. I mean, they moved the bed, though. They physically moved the bed. They moved the bed. They moved the bed. Scattered the house. And he commanded him, stop in the name of Jesus, out. Then he wanna wait, though. It's not the way the room was before now. In the name of Jesus, I can only come back. In the name of Jesus. Rearrange this place now in Jesus' name. They arrange now out in Jesus' name. Wiggle Swartz raised 23 people from the dead. Confronted demonic forces many, many times. One day he was at home, lying down, sleeping. He had commotion in the living room. He got there, saw the Satan on a swivel chair, in a rocking chair, making noise. He looked at him, oh, it's you, and went back to bed. Some of you will be doing VG throughout the night. Eh? Like, I'm so important, Satan came here. There's no wink of sleep again. He's in my sitting room. Jesus. That's the end of sleep that night. But there was such a consciousness of God. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Moreover, listen to common sense. If you could have done anything when you were sleeping, you would have done it. Did you hear what I said? You would have done it. After praying for an hour in the middle of the night, between the hours of 2 and 3 a.m., I fell asleep. It hasn't happened to me in years. This is about 2009 or so. It hasn't happened to me in years. And I felt something trying to choke me. I was lying down. If it was in days when I didn't know enough, I would jump up, start binding, and start casting. I just changed position. I said, get out. Finish praying for like an hour. You didn't come. If you have power, you have come. So it's just deception. I didn't have time to say, Satan, I buy. No. I just stay in position. You best be never sleep. I just stay in position. Get out. If I literally said, get out. There's a position. And it's in your left. That was the end of it. You don't need to threaten you to do something. You can do it. Do it. If you can kill me, kill. It's because you can't. You are trying to persuade me to join you in accepting that you can kill me. That's what you're trying to do. You're making noise in the living room when somebody is sleeping. What are you trying to do to wake him up? If you have any power, don't. It's because you cannot do anything. He says, so I won't fall for the wiles. That means he needs your cooperation to harm you. That's the implication. He knows he can't go near this one. You know the kind of ingers are stationed around Google's what? I heard Dr. Omar Pai say that. After he had a particular experience with God and he went through some terrible times and God came through from him and everything. And the ministry became expanded and he had to reach out to more people where He go to crusades, he go to stadiums. God told him one day, I've stationed 100 angels to guard you. 100. Wherever you are going, 100 angels to guard you. Wherever you are going now, 100 will follow you. Somebody says, is God not partial? No, he's not partial to you. It's the work. It's the nature of the work. The nature of the work. Why? Those things are real. Affliction is real. That's true. But more real is our victory in Christ Jesus. Let's stand to our feet tonight and pray. So let's just pray in the Spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to pray again that you realize your authority. You realize your authority. That God will help you to see you as he sees you. That there are things that you are caving into now, you are bowing to now that you ought not to be bowing into. There are things you are even overlooking now that you ought not to be overlooking. There are things you are meant to take charge over, you are not taking charge over. We wrestle against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers, against the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness where. So there are things that we have taken as the norm and they are not the norm. They're not the norm. We're begging God to do what he gave us authority to rule over.